This is such a special day today. Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you, Brenda. She's my ministry partner, Alaska Missions, my friend Brenda. And we were up ministering in Nome when God gave her that vision. And she didn't know I was in Nome. So this is a woman who God connected us, and we minister up north, and God is really opening up doors for us. And thank you so much, Anna, for coming from Stebbins. We have, do we have Point Hope in the house tonight? Or did they already take off on their dog team? Because I know they, when I texted them the other day, they said, okay, we'll hitch up our dogs. And so they made it right in time, but so they must have left already. We have our brother from Barrow. He just joined the worship team this weekend. Thank you so much. We have Mercy Wings in the house from Kenai. We have Pastor Tim and Martha Sergey from Wasilla. We have the Bergstroms in the house from Anchorage, Alaska. And of course, Kuya Nakfa, Tamachpachi Tailuchi to my Yupik family, Tari Ngachpanga. To my Yupik family, Kuyana, thank you so much for coming. And there's many other ministers here. We could take all night and honor you, but really, it is an honor to have each and every one of you out tonight. I want to give a special thank you to my nieces for coming tonight, Sarah and Markayla. They're responsible for me coming to that crazy church. Please stand, my nieces. They were only teenagers. They were only teenagers, and they would hound me when I was living with my boyfriend. They hounded me to attend this revival with the prophet so-and-so. And at the time, I said to my boyfriend at the time, I said, what's a prophet? And what the... What is a revival meeting? I'll just say it nicely now. And he says, I don't know, church. And I said, well, your nieces are on my, and I need to get them off my back and go to this church. And many of you know my testimony, but there are many new people here. And I'll go into just a tad bit of it. So we went to this crazy church, and they were running around. They were, right? I mean, one was hopscotching in and out the door. They were praising. They were running around, praising up and down the aisles. And that's my first church experience, other than Russian Orthodox. And I was like, woo-hoo, toot-toot, I'm home. And of course, my boyfriend at the time kind of looked over at me and said, uh-oh. And God did what he did best. And I said, God, whatever all these crazy people have, I want it. And I want all of it. And I said, what are you doing talking in that language? So, of course, Robert shared this morning. I went home. I said, God, I want it. I want it. I want all of it. I want more. Whatever you have for me, God. Because what happened during worship is that prophet called me. And he pointed me, he singled me out, and he said, can I pray for you? And I was like, sure. And he read my mail. And then he also spoke into my calling. And I was like. And then I fell to the floor. And I didn't know anything about slain in the spirit. Holy Ghost, didn't know how to read the Bible. And I went home, went to bed. And I woke up in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And my husband, my boyfriend at the time, looked over at me. And his little eyes got kind of big. But after that, I had an insatiable hunger for the Word of God. And then it started. I went on the ride of my life. And at times I stalled out. In the last 27 years, I stalled out, took a parking space and said, I ain't going no more, God. Your people are too much for me. He says, yeah, you are too. So anyway, we just thank God for what he's doing. Amen. Thank you so much for that, Heather. And you know, that word, I had forgotten part of that because I didn't read it, you know, recently. But Judith just gave me that same word tonight. She said, God is handing you a scroll. And so, you know, I'm just simple enough to believe God, okay? And I just said, I got it. I want it, God. I want it. That scroll. So we thank God. You know, it's been an amazing weekend. It's really been, I got to watch my time because Deb is coming up right after me. But I just want to say that even the message that Judith brought, wasn't that amazing? Out of Judges 4. Well, part of that word tonight, it's interesting because part of that word, this past summer I had a dream that I was pregnant. And I was pregnant with a girl. And in my dream, the Lord said, you will call her Deborah. And then he woke me up, and then he led me to Judges 4, and then began to show me some things out of that too. And I gave that word before, but I won't go into that. This is just, you know, part of culture in the kingdom is honoring one another. So I want to honor you for that, Judith. That was so amazing. Amen. And then last night when we had the, yes, amen. We honor our prophets. Thank you, Lord. Part of the prophetic activation last night, who was here last night? Remember when the Lord said, let's just do a prophetic activation and let's just ask him, Lord, what is my new weapon for this new season? Well, I went home and I saw something, but I just kept it to myself. And then when I went home, I said, well, Lord, what was that? And I saw a quiver full of arrows. And then you prophesied to me about arrows on fire. Amen. So God, he's so good. He confirms. And so, you know, with the arrows, you can use them for different things. They can be arrows of praise that hits the target. They can be arrows of worship. They can be arrows with the word. They can be arrows for whatever the Lord says at the time. We've got to get out of our religious boxes. Amen? We got to get out of our religious mindsets. And so this morning we had a testimony. You saw the young lady, Kylie, dancing up here. Well, you know what? The Lord delivered her from an overdose and saved her. Amen. And so the Lord is going to be sending us people who need deliverance from alcohol and drugs, people who are prostitutes, people who are down and out. And we will make room for them. And we will allow them to worship him the way he created them to worship him. Amen. We need to get ready because he's sending them. Hello. And then, of course, we heard from Abraham. George brought such a powerful prophetic word about the church coming into unity. And that word that Judith brought about unity in the church with honor. With honor. Unity in the church with honor. We cannot have real unity without honoring one another. And you know what that takes? A dying to ourselves. Amen. And then, of course, Nancy Winiford. Wow, what a teaching gift on gifts of prophecy. And then Robert, of course, activated us in the prophetic. Mary did a charge to us to rise up. And so a lot of good stuff has been happening all weekend long. And so some of the things that I've been really waiting on the Lord about sharing this time, I mean, sometimes it's just like you get on overload and you're like, okay, Lord, which one? And so I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to share some of the things about our character sustaining our gifts. We can be prophetic and we can be prophets and we can be leaders. You don't have to have a title, but this is a prophetic conference, so we'll just say prophetic. But without the character of Christ, it's not going to sustain the gifts. Because in our early years, we were in a highly prophetic church where they were so accurate, they could just prophesy the paint off the wall. But the end of the story is they are no more, which is very sad to say. But, you know, I don't take all of that and throw stones at them, because we all sin and fall short in so many ways. But I take that as a training tool for me, as a training tool in my belt, and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Show me. Deliver me. Train me. And so I love being able to teach on the prophetic, because with the gifts is the character. And early on, like I said, when I got saved, I was such a radical. I mean, I just wanted to prophesy to everything and everyone. And, you know, and without my husband, I could have been in La La Land. You know, I needed to be grounded in the word. I needed to be trained. I needed the brokenness to come into me. I needed to allow the character of Christ to manifest through me. And so some of the functions and characteristics of prophets are, of course, not only they can prophesy, but they also have uncommon, continuous words of knowledge, words of wisdom, revelation. They see into the future. They have high levels of discerning of spirits. They have unusual supernatural experiences in God and sometimes of the enemy. They see hidden agendas. And sometimes that can get... They carry fresh revelations from the Word and the Spirit. And many times they may not even say what they're seeing. I mean, there's times when we're young in the Lord and we just tell all. It's just part of the growing process. And there's no condemnation in that. But as we mature in the Lord, he begins to hone our gift. He begins to mold us and break us and make us and mold us and break us and break us and break us. And then he heals us and he binds up our wounds and he says, get up and go. And so this morning, Robert was sharing that some of the things that the Lord would show me. And you know, for me, I would always be shocked when he would show me things. There was one time I was out in the valley at Bill Johnson's conference out there. How many people were out there for that one in 2007, I believe? And so after I went up for prayer, and I was, you know, he just started walking towards me. And I went slammed into the Spirit. And the next thing I knew, it was like I was just flying. I mean, just flying through this tunnel. And I just felt like I was just going to die. I felt the current, the currency of the wind. I felt the wind was just blowing so hard. And I just felt like I can't take anymore. Stop, God. And then finally I came through this tunnel. And I started, it's like I started flying over Alaska. And then I saw the pipeline, the gas pipeline, and it was built from the north down to the southern part, south of Anchorage. That was in 2007. And then I remember telling my husband, wow, they're going to build a gas pipeline. Can you believe it? You know, because God showed that to me in 2007, and I wrote it down. And I was talking to him on the phone. And he goes, yes, darling, I'm sitting right here. And I just laughed at myself. I thought, Lord, if people knew how corny I really was. You know, I mean, I get shocked when he uses me. I mean, we can't get too stuffy and too serious. Amen? Otherwise, that's when we start going, do, 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 do. Yeah. So, you know, in the prophetic, it's very easy to go there. And believe me, there were times when I could have went there very easily. And then I remember when in 2015, Robert and I were ministering in Florida, down at the GEM conference, and it was the last day, and we thought, oh, great, we're going to take a ride down to Naples, you know, go to the beach, enjoy a day off. And it started pouring down like cats and dogs. I mean, it was just coming down, Mary. I was so mad. I was like, God, man, we're all the way down here ministering. We're your servants, and blah, 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 and going on. And then he stopped me. Boom. And I felt the atmosphere in the room, in the car, shift. And I just started praying in the Spirit. And then I went into an open vision. And then I saw the 17 candidates of the presidents. I'm just giving you examples, because these are not about our political leanings. These are not about what we even want to see. It's just a gift, okay? And then I saw the 17 candidates, and the Lord said, don't dismiss who I'm trying to show you to be the next president like you did in the last one, because you got your soul all mixed up in it. And then he showed me Trump moving forward, and I said, no! And then he sent a dream after that. But I'm saying all that to say, there's a lot when the Lord begins to show you different things. We have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, let your will be done in this. I have to command my soul to come into subjection to the Spirit of the Lord. And there have been many, many nights, many, many days that I've actually went into a dark wrestling of my soul. just commanding it to come under subjection to the Holy Ghost. Soul, Eleanor, you shut up and be quiet. You come under subjection to the Spirit of the Lord. This is not about you, Eleanor. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk to myself like that. Now, I don't go into lengthy conversations and start answering myself back again. But that, when the Lord begins to, because the Lord is going to move in with his strong prophetic spirit and unction upon us again. Mary shared this morning, 40 years ago, the move of God's Spirit. There is coming a move, and it already is here. And it's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to grow. But we've got to know how to be able to sustain it and steward the move of God as it's coming. We think it's going to come in one big bang. I don't believe so. I believe it's coming in waves. And as it comes, and as we can steward it well while it's here, when we're faithful with the little, he will make us faithful over much. Amen. And as the Lord begins to bring in different ones for deliverance, like this young lady who God delivered, who set her free from the spirit of addiction, actually brought her back to life. If we can learn to steward this well and steward the, you know, different things well, well, you know what? He'll say, wow, they're loving them well. Let me bring more. Let me bring more to them. But if we don't love them well, and if we don't allow them to worship God and try to put all kinds of legal rules and regulations and, yo, you can't do this and you can't. Like I said, when you come to Kingdom Alliance, you do whatever you need to do to get your breakthrough. Even if you have to stand on your head. Be free to worship, but always be mindful of those around you, okay? So far, nobody's been knocked out. Hallelujah. And so we need to walk in a high level of integrity and character, amen? We need to die daily. There's a wrestling of our soul. But you know what the most important thing is? There's a deep relationship with Christ Jesus and Holy Spirit. And you know, with the prophetic gifting, as you know, there is truly a spiritual warfare that happens. And it's usually with our minds, our wills, and our emotions. And the Jezebel spirit loves to blow wind on that. Loves to blow wind on that, to get you to back up into a corner, to get you to back down, to get you to, I mean, even try to shut you down and really even try to kill you. I've experienced that. But if we're not in right relationship with God and with our spouses and with one another, the enemy has a foothold. And even if we discern something that's accurate, we are not to use it as suspicion. We are not to use it as a weapon against someone else. It's called honor. It's called integrity. Amen. And so when people get into an agreement with criticism and judgment and accusations against leaders, even if it's true, they become Jesse's sisters. You come into agreement with this Jezebel spirit, and then you start walking hand in hand with Ahab and Jesse, and that's what you listen to. And out of the mouth comes dishonoring. You know, I'll share a situation. When my husband and I we needed to leave a place, and we were told that that the death angel was going out the door with us, and we, you know, the Lord showed me something. When it came out of this person's mouth, I saw a, what you call that again? A boomerang come out of the mouth, and it was flying through the air. I was watching it while he was saying it, and I was saying, Lord, I went into this vision. I said, Lord, what is this? And he says, it's a curse that has just come out of his mouth, and I will give him space and time to repent. But if he will not, it will come back onto his own head and his own household. But because I'm a loving father, I always give room for repentance. And so, you know, of course, my husband is a nice guy, you know, and I left out there hopping mad. And I was like, you know, how dare he? You know, how can you believe it? You know, the death angel is going out the door with us. I mean, what kind, you know, and my husband being, I mean, he's, sometimes he's, he is wonderful. He is an amazing man of God. I am truly blessed. I don't know how I got so blessed, but God knew I needed it, that's for sure. Oh my gosh. He said, Eleanor, we will not speak badly. We will not. And he looked at me. And I said, got it. And so I was walking on East 68th, just hopping mad, walking. Actually, the night before, I had a dream. The Lord sent me a dream. He is so redemptive, even in all of it. He is so redemptive. He sent me a dream, and I was walking, and I was still mad, and the Lord said, Eleanor, check your heart. You need to repent. It doesn't matter if you've been wronged. You need to repent. And he said, I want you to set up a lunch meeting, and you go and repent. And I said, okay. So as soon as I went home, I told him, we need to set up a lunch meeting. I need to repent. We get there, and you know how we are in our self-righteous selves. Well, you know, I had to really wrestle myself and say, God, you've got to come through. You've got to come through. And so we had our meeting, and it went really well. As well, well, it could have went better, but when we left, as soon as we walked over the threshold of Applebee's, the Lord showed me something, and it happened. And you know what? We don't gloat in people's falling. We don't say, yeah, I was right. They were wrong. What happened to me was a deep fear of the Lord came over me. When the word truly happened, and I'm telling you, three deaths in a week and a half, the fear of the Lord hit me, Miss Lori, like nothing else. I was like, Lord, you really did show that to me, didn't you? Thank you, God, that I didn't want to repent, but thank you that I did. I mean, I would have felt horrible if I didn't. And God was knocking on my heart to repent. I would have walked away going, God, you gave me an opportunity to repent, and I didn't. Even if I wasn't, you know, the one that caused the hurt. This morning, Abraham George led us through repentance. There is... The move of God is going to come with a deep repentance. The move of God is going to come with that. And we cannot, you know, he's causing us to come low. He's causing us to come into a new honor, into a new humility. Amen. And so, okay, I've got to keep going here. And so, this is, it's amazing when God uses you. It really is. We're just mere humans. Matthew 10:41. Well, the script, before we go there, the scripture that God gave Robert was Psalm 17. And those of you that are going through a very difficult time right now, you take this home and you meditate on this. Psalm 17. He said, "The only vindication that I want is that the presence of the Lord is strongly upon me." He said, "Eleanor, we will not defend ourselves. We will let the Lord defend us. The only thing we want is the presence of the Lord to be evident in our lives." And I said, "Okay, well, I sure got to die because I don't feel the presence of the Lord all over me." And he did. And when the thing happened that I saw, the fear of the Lord came on me. A holy fear, a reverential fear. So when he shows you things, it's amazing sometimes. It's too wonderful. So Matthew 10:41. "He who receives a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." You know, there were times, there were things that the Lord showed me over the years that I haven't even really talked about publicly anyway. He's a supernatural God. He's not a God that we can box up and wrap with a bow. You know, when I look at that scripture, I think, Lord, what is it? What are you trying to say? He says, "Those that receive a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." And it has to do with honor. It has to do with a supernatural exchange that happens. And one day, well, before I go there, it's like there's a holy demand on that gift that happens, especially when it's an apostolic leader. And it's not for selfish gain. It's for kingdom purposes and kingdom purposes only. Because we're not like slot machines. I mean, there was time I was standing there praying for tons and tons of people, and we were in Florida. It wasn't in Alaska. We were in Florida, and this person came up, and she started asking me to prophesy to her, and she was asking me really weird questions, and it was bad. I mean, it was really, really bad. I am not being... It felt defiling to me. It was so bad. Yeah. And so I'm here to announce I am not a slot machine. I cannot be bought. But it's different when someone comes and there's a holy demand on the gift. And I remember when I first met Josh, and when he asked me to pray for things, I felt something leave me. I felt the virtue of the anointing leave me. I felt the demand on the gifting leave me, and it was a holy exchange. It was a supernatural exchange. And so recently, my husband and I were in Texas, and at Chuck's church, I mean, you're giving it. Emptying out everything because I wanted to sow into the offering, you know. And we were taught right away, you know, as soon as we became Christians, you know, we were going to give our tithes and offerings. And when I became a Christian and it was dividend time and we had four kids in the house, that meant six dividends. And that's when they were nice and big. And you know, and And that, you know, Robert said, well, you know, it's tithes. I said, what's tithes and offerings? He says, well, we give 10% of all of our income, and that's before taxes. And then offerings are above and beyond. And I said, well, is it in the Word? Show me in the Word. He showed me in the Word, and I said, if it's in the Word, let's give it, honey. And God has been faithful above and beyond. Amen. And I have watched him move on our behalf like, anyway, let me finish up. So I got this $10. And I was in Texas. We were coming back. We were going to give one more offering before we left. And I looked in my wallet. I said, look, honey, nothing left in there. No more cash. I said, you got anything? He said, nope, I don't have anything. We go to the airport. We left the service, went to the airport, and we sat down to get a bite to eat before we came. And I looked in my wallet. I had given my last 20 for the check. And there was $20 in my wallet. There were 2 5s and a 10. Right before that, I said, honey, I really want to give that waiter something. I want to give her just for seating us next to the window, just because of that. And I said, but I don't have any money. And I looked in my wallet, and there it was. There was 2 5s and a 10. And the Lord said, you go give this one to that one. You go give that one to that one. And you say a prayer. And I said, okay. And for the last 10, I've been saving it. And I've been asking the Lord, God, what do you want with this? Who do you want me to give this to? And he told me to give it to you, Josh. And I said, Lord, if I was really hearing from you, you bring him and Joni tonight. I sure did. And I wanted to call them to say, are you guys coming? Just to help God out, you know, just to make sure I was really hearing from God, because I still doubt myself at times. I mean, there's things that he's shown me that were too wonderful to even really talk about. But there's other times when I go, was that you, God? And so I said, God, what's the purpose of this? He said, I gave that money to you supernaturally. Now, this represents a supernatural increase. So I want to call you guys up here, if that's okay. Listen, people, we have these meetings every month here, and they never charge us to use this space. They have welcomed their heart. They have welcomed us with open hearts and open arms. They wanted natives to be here. And we came along. And you know, and God supernaturally set this up. And I said, God, what is this last 10 for? And he said, I want you to sow it into Josh and Joni for the release of the finances for the building. They need a supernatural release of finances for the building. So I would like for all of us just to sow into them tonight here. It's just receive in Jesus' name. They never ask for anything. And I just want us to sow into them. Yes.
Wait a second. Don't hand that to me yet. So this is something that's so crazy. It's weird that you're giving us a $10 bill, because this is the start of our 10th year as pastors at Abiloop, setting in as senior pastors. Do you remember, Heather, do you remember what you prophesied about 10 years? So Heather gave us a prophetic word about a 10-year mark that God was going to fulfill, really bring about all of the things that are in our vision scope. We're going to all be set in by 10 years. Alan Ross prophesied the same thing the same year, separately from you, which I don't think you knew. And so you should read what are the numbers on there. What other things are in this $10 bill?
Remember I asked you to look up the number 10? Remember that the other day? Because I was like, what are you saying, God? It's in my phone.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know anything about prophetic stuff, so...
One other thing. What were you saying about 40 years ago? Because we came in a little bit late, so we didn't get to hear.
Mary shared this morning that 40 years ago, there was a move of God in Alaska. And it got, you know, it just waned, okay? And I believe that the Lord is getting us out of the wilderness, out of a 40-year cycle in the wilderness, and he is causing us to come through. And now we have another opportunity to grab our inheritance. Amen. We are the Joshua and the Caleb generation, and we are going to take this land of Alaska for his glory. Amen. Amen. And it's going to take all of us together.
Amen. How old are you?
I just turned 40, so that's fine.
What's your name?
My name's Joshua, of course.
What's the name of your first son?
Caleb, right.
So let's just sow into the baskets tonight, and we wanna release a blessing to you guys. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
Josh, you don't know this, but a number of months ago, I was reading 2 Samuel, and the Lord... I was reading where Eli's sons misused the offering, and the anger of the Lord came on them. And immediately I began to pray in for Abbott Loop and Anchorage City Church and the leaders. It wasn't a condemnation prayer. It was kingdom strategy for your finances. And I believe he's given you strategy. It's going to come forth in a bigger measure. It's going to come forth in new ways. There's something he's going to break off of the way that has been done, and you're going to step into it in a new way. And so I'm just declaring that over you tonight. Here's another 10.
Pray that over us. Pray that.
Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that you have given strategy from your throne room. Father, it is not by might or by power, but it's by your spirit. And I thank you, you've placed them both here for this time and this season, and it's not by chance, because they're ones that will hear the new. They're ones that will hear and walk in the new way that you have for them to walk in. We're thankful for the past, but God, they are leaping into the future. They're leaping into a new way of spending finances. And Lord, your strategy is coming from above. It will come in new ways that you don't even expect. So listen when God speaks, that still small voice. And it might even be a loud voice, but I'm saying listen and pay attention when you hear something. God is speaking.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Whoa. Hallelujah.
That's a 10.
Hallelujah. Oh, Josh and Joni, you've been in a hard season, but you're coming through. The 40th year, a year of celebration, a year of deliverance, a year God said there's going to be a double portion of that which was here before. And we were so packed and full of the presence of God back then, when that anointing, that healing was pouring out, that visitation of the Lord, people would get to church 2 hours early to get seats in the front row. Remember that? So that they could see the move of God. He was moving so powerfully. But when it lifted off the state and I was grieving over the loss, the Lord said to me, as you have seen my power and my glory in the sanctuary before. The sanctuary? So shall you see it again. And then he said, but it will be double next time. This is the 40th year, 2018, that anointing lifted off the state. And this is the year of the double portion. Restoration will begin, and you have a new sanctuary for it to begin in.
It's going to be different than before because the building will not hold the crowds that are coming in. You're going to have to be able to sow souls not only all over the state, but all over the world. You are called as a mission-sending church. There is an anointing to raise up leaders, apostolic leaders, and prophets, and evangelists on this church, and you're going to be sending them all over the world. And it's not accidental that the two of you are paired together. God found a perfect pairing, number one, to withstand the pressure that would come against you, and to be able to press through your own soul, wrestling with your own soul to hold steady in the onslaught so that you could come through and glorify Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you, God, for Josh and Joni and for Abbott Loop. Father, they said, yes, we want to bless our First Nations people. We want to open up the doors. And because they've opened up the doors and they've said yes, I hear the Lord saying, I'm saying yes. I'm opening up the doors to you. So, Lord, I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it's a door of blessing. It's a door of prosperity. It's the door of the double anointing. God, I thank you, God, for Josh and Joni, for their household, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, for a new move even in their home, Father. God, I thank you for a new move even in their children, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that they have raised them up in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. I thank you, Lord God, that there's new and different anointings on each one, Father, and it's precious. God, we just thank you and we praise you for that.
Yeah, I was just sitting there minding my own business and saying, Lord, I don't have a thing from you about that. And I, you know, my heart is for them. I want to have something for you. And all of a sudden, I saw something. I saw that God is preparing a man. He's in a preparation stage. He's not here now. This is a person who needs to come in and will be positioned because God says he has purposes for you that are beyond pastoring, that are that apostolic calling on you. And so this person is in preparation. I mean, you know, when you see a figure that's made and it's, you know, I don't even know that much about how they fashion bronze and statues and things like that, but I saw this thing is all gold. This was only, it was a person. And God was putting in that golden character. He was putting that pastoral heart. He was putting in that servant's heart. And it was all this fashioning and preparing that was going on. And you will know. But this is someone coming, not someone here. Okay. And so that person's going to step in, and this is going to be a heart-to-heart joining. And you're going to go, oh, my God. Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. Because you would feel like a round peg in a square hole if, you know, or the other way around, however that saying goes, because you're not meant to do what this person is meant to do. But God says he's bringing that one because he has purpose for you. And we heard about the strategy room tonight and about that council room. And God says he's calling you up into the council room. Whoa. Oh, now, Joni, come here, sweetheart. I'm putting her hand on your head because she's got a prophetic heart. She sees things that you don't even see, and she is called of the Spirit of God to speak into you, and it's going to be like an arrow that pierces your heart, and you're going to say, whoa, I am prophetic. I have revelation from the Lord because he's made you one flesh so that she would speak that into you, and you would receive it, and you'll receive on your own over and over and over again. It's not that he will not reveal himself to you that way, but he is saying this joining is for my eternal purposes. Hear what your wife has to say, because I am speaking through her. And Joni, this fire that comes up in your belly, sweetie, when it rises on the inside of you, you let that come out in the fullness of what God wants to say. You write it down, and you lay it down in your husband's hands, because then he may not say anything at the moment, but he'll take that aside, and he'll look at it. And he'll ponder it, and God will speak to his heart. And it's a part of the strategy and the purposes of God to go forward in the day. And this is what I see. I see you too. Oh, I'd like to see this in the natural, Josh. But I saw you dancing in, man. I saw the two of you just dancing in, and you were leading a troop. You know, there's a scripture, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We used to sing this song, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And I'm saying, you're going to run through a troop and leap over a wall. You're coming into the fullness of that calling on your life. But it is a dual calling. And he really wants you to understand that. Don't mix it up with buildings and structures. This is a heart joining, a heart calling. It's a calling together, the purposes of God, to take things forward where he wants to go. And so I just bless the two of you in this. We thank you, Father. Our hearts are for, Deborah said that her hearts were for the leaders. Heart and soul, she was with the leaders. Father, we're heart and soul. We just put our hands out to these two. And heart and soul, we bless them. And we say, lead, go forth, dance, bring the troop, and run through that, leap over that wall. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you for what you're doing in these two. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
You know, Mary, stand here. You know, years ago, I was there when everything happened at Abbott Loop. And it was really a grievous time for all of us when the Spirit left. But I saw the Lord. The Lord said even to me that there was going to be a tumbling down, like bricks and bricks and bricks falling down. But when the Spirit of God comes back, it's going to be so powerful that people are going to be compelled to come off the streets. And even you're going to be so full that they're going to be looking through the windows. Do you remember that? And you know, it's still going to come. I want you to know, because this is just the beginning. And God is a mighty God. He keeps his word. God bless you.
Very quickly, Caleb is instrumental in all of this somehow. I saw him here last night and I thought, that kid is carrying something. And he's going to be very instrumental in the days ahead to the moving of all of this somehow. But we still have Deb tonight. Thank you so much for coming. Okay.
I want to just pray over these guys and pray over you. And I want to, it's one of the things coming to my mind as we're doing this, is that we felt really led to pay off one of our investment properties. We have investment property. We have, you know, there was some remodel stuff that went to it. And we sunk pretty much every dollar we had. We could scrape it up, and then the whole thing was paid off. And I called Joni, I looked in the bank account, and I'm like, we only have 10 bucks in our bank account total. Everything, which has been forever since I ever been that broke, right? And I'm like, but it was a big step for us financially, because it really unlocks this investment property for us, and we're debt free, which is pretty awesome. So, but 10 bucks. When do you only have $10 total? Savings, checking, everything. 10 bucks is all we had this week. What are the odds? What are the odds? I don't know. It's just Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thanking you, God, for your glory, for your love, for your presence, for just how good you are and how faithful you are. And God, you're unlocking your heavenly resources for us all. And God, I just see that, God, you are unlocking gifts, even in this room, but in this church, in this city, and even the most broken that are out on the streets, God, they're the fault line in the Spirit where the earthquake is going to move, where it's going to happen. And we just partner with you, and we release our faith to see what you're going to do in and through all of us, God. And I'm just speaking right now the release of gifts all over this place, a magnification of gifts being released from the prophetic to the apostolic, the pastoral, the evangelistic, the teaching, the pastoral, God, will just be so unlocked that every person that comes into these churches, God, will experience the care, the love, the compassion of Christ. And so, God, I thank you for that release. God, and we just call out the release of finances in this room Lord, I'm just praying and believing, and I'm just setting forth a release of increase right now. Job promotions, new ideas that set forth new business, that unlock resources that are under the earth. God, we're just believing, God, that you are going to just get people to buy land and property that, Lord, just unlocks resources and funds for your kingdom. We thank you, God, for your love, God. And we're releasing the presence of God. Release the Holy Spirit on us right now, Father God. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you, God. Pour out your presence, God. Let your love just be all that we are wrapped up in, God, that we would experience your love in ways that we never thought possible. Father God, will you send your love to us? Lord, we want to just experience how much you love us, God. Thank you, Lord. God, bless Eleanor and Robert and their whole family and their kids and those grandkids that I know are coming in Jesus' mighty name. God, I just believe the legacy that this couple is going to set forth in this state is just unbelievable. So God, bless them. Let everything they put their hands to prosper. God, release their gifts. I just pray for Robert that pastoral grace will just multiply into thousands of other pastors shepherding people, God. We honor you and we love you today, and I honor them for their faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Doesn't know right now. No, he doesn't know. The $10?
Whichever one that you want to give it to, you just make up your mind. I just want to make a quick announcement. You know, this weekend has been Let the Prophet Speak. Next month it's going to be Let the Apostle Speak. And those that are apostles and have apostolic capacity. And we have invited Josh to come and speak to us based on his schedule. So we're hoping that he'll be with us next month. Deb.
Why don't we all just stand for a minute? I think we just kind of need to move a little bit. I know we're all tired. It's been a long weekend. But I really believe the Lord has something for me to release tonight. He's had a fire in my heart about this, and this is an honoring of the prophet. So let me just pray. Father, we are so dependent upon you. I thank you for every individual here. Lord, I thank you that their ears are open to hear what the Spirit has to say. For every hungry heart, Lord, they would grab it and run with it. I pray your word go forth and hit the mark tonight, Father, and nothing be lost this entire weekend, Father. Everything that they've grabbed be sealed upon their hearts. In Jesus' name. And Lord, help me to speak it out. Well, I'm not as, I haven't been speaking as long as everybody else that's been up here, so bear with me. But the Lord has a fire in me to speak about prophetic intercession and to honor the prophetic words. We're here at a prophetic conference honoring the prophets, and so I want to say a little bit about intercession before I go into it, because we're all called to pray. And basically, that's what intercession is. You pray, you stand in the gap for one or another or a situation. And intercession's gone on in Alaska for a very long time, and it's been like this accelerant. Somebody used that word earlier today. I don't know who it was, but it's actually boosted Alaska, the body of Christ in Alaska, into a new place. And They did that for years. For years, those that were before, they would get together, they would travail, pray, petition, and be in supplication for hours and days, and they would go throughout the state. And there was a purpose in all of that. That has, because of what they did, has allowed us to be where we're at today. In intercession also. It's always in the spirit. So there's been a shifting in the atmosphere in many ways because of what they did. But now, I believe there's been a shift in intercession. It's catapulted us to a whole new level of prayer. And some of you who have been praying might be going, gosh, how am I supposed to pray? We've had so many people say, I want to know how to pray the prophetic. I want to know how to pray because something has shifted. For years, I would get in the closet. I'd pray. I had somebody on my heart, and the Lord would download, and I'd pray, and I'd spend hours in the closet. And then things would begin to shift. Things started shifting. I'd say a prayer. I'd hear something from the Lord, and I'd begin to declare that, and I'd decree it. That's what I did. I didn't just keep on praying. Things shifted. And it wasn't just in the closet. It was all over the place. I would be at the grocery store. I'd hear something about somebody in front of me. And sometimes I would actually pray for them. But I would pray what I was hearing from heaven. It's about hearing the heart of the Father. And so we've been hearing the heart of the Father this whole weekend through visions and dreams and prophetic words. And so there's something about it picking up and it's getting stronger. And so I know Dutch Sheets said he prophesied that the possibility of the next prayer movement could start again in Alaska. Well, we know that there was a prayer movement in Alaska many years ago, and it started to pick up again. He said there's a well of covenant in Alaska. This is in the words, the prophetic words that he spoke over Alaska. A well was dug by the prior prayer movement that we're able to walk in right now. So I want to honor that prior prayer movement. I honor them. I honor Mary who helped lead that, Judith that helped lead that. Windwalkers was major for many of us. But I believe we've stepped into a whole new level. We've started operating. We began months ago. Months ago, we've started operating and praying the prophetic. After the last conference of Dutch and Chuck when they were here, we began having meetings. Now, Robert and Eleanor started having meetings years ago where they focused on the prophetic and reaching out across the state. And after that meeting, debriefed. We had a time of debriefing right after the meeting, and immediately the Lord said, don't use that word. We've been doing debriefing. I just couldn't go to that word. It wasn't about debriefing. We had to immediately step into what had been spoken. And this is what God's calling us to. We don't have time to spend around debriefing. That's good, and there's a time for that. But he wants us to step into what he's called us to in this hour. It's a sharpening of where we're at right now. There's no delay. I'm not saying there's not a time for prayers and petitioning. There is that time. In fact, he led me. She was talking about the time where she was going into the restaurant today. And that's a time where she was actually, as Joel talks about, where you weep between the porch and the altar. Joel talks about that. And when you read the book of Joel, they're talking about a time of great. God said, cry out for mercy. And that's what you do between the porch and the altar. And, you know, researching and studying a little bit, there was more than one porch in the temple, and one of them was a judgment porch. So we don't want to go to the judgment porch, and sometimes we can't even go and sacrifice. We just got to weep before the porch and the altar. In between them, there's things that God has called us to. But right tonight, I want to talk about prophetic declaration and declaring the words that we're hearing. The Lord says right now, I want to share something that he reminded me about. I was on the plane coming back from Glory to Zion meeting. Somebody had given me a devotional book for Arizona. And in the devotional book was 30 devotions, and every day was a different prophetic word. And at the bottom of it was a prayer to pray that prophetic word. Boy, something in me just, God had already been building it in me. And I ran back to Mary. Do you remember this, Mary? I ran back to her in the plane, and I said, Mary, we got to do this. And I ran to her because she's been the keeper of the words for years in Alaska. And I says, we got to do it. And I knew we had to do this. So within so many months, it really was weeks, Nancy Smith and I and Mary got together at her house, and we went through Mary's pile of prophetic words that she had saved over the years that have been spoken over the state, over churches, over many people. And we pulled out the ones just over the state of Alaska. We compiled a book of prophetic words because we knew we were supposed to do something with them. We're not supposed to let them sit around on the shelf any longer. It was like, now is the time. So I can talk about those books in a minute. Here I am licking the mic. I'm trying to lick my finger. So, sorry. Anyway, the meetings Robert and Eleanor were having, they kind of handed me the charge on those meetings because I appreciate and honor what they've done in seeing that that passion that God had already been building in me. See how God does that? He starts a little bit way back in the back, and pretty soon before you know it, it's built into something you never imagined. I never thought I would have this charge of feeling to proclaim the prophetic, declare the prophetic. The Lord said, he brought me to Habakkuk 2:2. Most of us have all heard this scripture. Write the vision and make it plain upon tablets so that he may run that readeth it. We've all heard that. So what do? We read the word and we run with it. Well, when I looked up the word run, it's really interesting. One of the definitions for the word run was go without restraint. So listen to it again. Write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may go without restraint that readeth it. So we don't only read the word and go without restraint. There's God's still speaking today. We use the word, yes, but we go with the prophetic words that have been spoken today. He's saying, don't leave them on the shelf. This is not the time to leave them on the shelf. The word actually lifts restraints. How many of you have gotten prophetic words? And you felt a lifting when you get those prophetic words. We got to run with those words and war with them. He also had me look up the word declaration and decree. You know, in the body of Christ, so many of us, we hear the word declaration. I'm declaring this and I'm decreeing that. And it's all good and people's hearts are in it. But we come to a point where he's changing our vocabulary. He's wanting us to be very aware of the words that we speak and that we understand what we're saying. So I looked up the word declare, and what it is you're just basically bringing it forward. It actually says you're making an announcement to make it formally known. You're bringing it forward to make it clear. Judith spoke last night about Judges 4 and 5, and there was declarations. They kept declaring the word all throughout that. All throughout this whole weekend, they've been saying things about what I was speaking, what's been on my heart. And so I just want to hit the mark on some of you. If you've been asking how to pray, and I want to stir us with an intercession to pray in a new way in this hour, because it's a critical hour. When I looked up the word decree, it's a little different. Psalms 2:7 says, I will declare the decree. So there is a difference between the two. So we decree a word. It's an order, usually having the force of law. It's a command or a dictate. And one of the definitions of decree was ordain. I thought, oh, this is interesting. We had some ordinations today. So to understand the authority of when we're decreeing something, what happens is there's a authority that's released when we decree something. It's like Judith's been ordained a prophet and apostle. Before she was ordained, she operated in this. She operated in it a lot. But when she was ordained, something was released for her to operate in a fuller measure. There's something that's released when you are commissioned and ordained. And so I'm seeing a fuller measure coming to you people that were ordained yesterday. There's something that's going to be expanding in your ministry and in your revelation of what you already know. You're going to find yourself walking in higher levels. And so we have to be very aware when we decree there is such a power in the words we speak. We know that there's been a lot of talk about the power of our words over the last few years. Our words create. We create with our words. And the Lord sees what we're speaking. What are we speaking? Are we in alignment with Him? Jesus only spoke what He heard the Father say. And when we're decreeing the word of the Lord, we need to be, there's such a seriousness of recognizing, are we in alignment with the heart of the Father? If I say, just a quick example here, oh my goodness, we need a police officer. I'm going to decree Mary as a police officer. Well, that could be scary because she doesn't have that in her. And it could just bring confusion. And that's what happens if we come out of alignment to the will of the Father. We have to know that that person, they knew those people were, when they before they ordained them, they were already operating in what they were commissioning them in. And so we don't want to go around decreeing the word on inappropriately. So I just want to emphasize that before I go on. There's so much power in our spoken word. We create an environment. You can walk into an environment and tell if there's been a anger in the environment. And you can change that environment by the words that you speak. We've got to be in so close connection with the Father's heart. I've heard misuse of intercession. We don't want to manipulate the Father's word. We don't use it against somebody. God's full of grace and mercy. So that is how we pray from that. The foundations of his throne room. We don't come out and say, well, God, your word says, and so this person, you know, I've heard of people in offices, they have trouble at work, and so they'll begin to pray, Lord, that person just needs to be moved out of here. Well, you know, that could be the case, but maybe God just wants to do a work in your own heart. And so you have to ask the Lord and connect with the Father in the word that you're speaking. And then you begin to prophesy God's word into it. I was listening to a pastor, Chuck Pierce. I was taking an online class a couple months ago. And this is what he said, and Eleanor touched on it a little bit. He said, you have to know what the right weapon is to use this season. Wait till you hear from the Lord and then pick it up. And some of you need to hear this. She's been asking you, what weapon do you have? Some of you are going, I'm not sure what the weapon is, but some of you are called for deep intercession this season and into a new level of prayer. Everybody's called to pray. Well, about 2 months in, as I'm scribing the word from the conferences and I'm going through all the prophetic words, and it all like a dull moment hit me, and the Lord says, well, the prophetic words are your weapon. So I was like, that resonated with me. He's not going to give you a weapon that you don't have in you. It's not going to be something you don't know how to handle or you're not able to grab. So we use the prophetic word as a weapon. We know our battle's not against flesh and blood, and our weapons are warfare. They're not carnal. And they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And that is what the prophetic word is. It's mighty. It's mighty. He's given us prophetic words. Some people, bear with me here. Some people don't know what to prophesy. This is full of prophecy right here. I want to tell you, some people have trouble in your homes with your kids or your families. I used to go into my children's room when they were at school. They don't live at home now, but I used to go in there and I would sing over them. I'd prophesy over them. I'd change the atmosphere of their room by the word. By the word. I wasn't manipulating. I was saying, Lord, this is your promises for my child. And I declare that over them. I declare it over my house. I begin to declare it over the churches and over my church and over the leaders and over those that God has me on my heart. And this is what he wants us to do in prayer. So I hope this is resonating with some. You know, we keep on, I'll never forget the word that Tom Edmonds said had over Abbott Loop. He said someday he had a vision. Josh, you need to hear this. He had a vision that people, the room was so full, people were peering in the windows to get in. And that's a prophetic word to grab because it's going to happen. Now,
we're saying, oh, yeah, it hasn't happened yet. But I'll tell you what, you don't. In the Word of God, they never stopped prophesying the prophetic word. They kept it on for generation after generation. Some of them weren't able to see it. But that doesn't mean they stopped speaking it. They kept declaring that word for the next generation. And that's what we do. Anyway, I want to say that there's different ways to prophesy the word. Some people will dance it, okay? I can't wait till the worship team starts singing prophetic words. They're already singing prophetically, but I believe there's a new sound coming where they're going to start, they're going to hear a prophetic word, they're going to pick it up and start singing it right away. We don't have time to think about, oh, let's discuss and see how we should do this. I believe that the Lord's right there. He's releasing revelation. We pick it up and we run with it without restraint. So I want to encourage us to pick up the word of the Lord and run without restraint. I mean, I drive through my neighborhood and I decree, this is a safe neighborhood. God told me. That's my territory. And so I declare that over the neighborhood. Okay, I'm not just going, okay, I wonder if anything happened in the neighborhood. I mean, no. I'm saying, hey, this is my neighborhood. Don't cross the boundary here. You're messing with the wrong person. So in the grocery store, okay, we can declare. There's a grocery store close to my house, and I'm like, one time I said, I just don't want to go in that store. I don't like the atmosphere. I started going a mile down the road to another grocery store, and the Lord checked me. He says, well, go into that store and change the atmosphere. Start declaring the word. Doesn't mean I'm on the register shouting it. No, I can walk through the aisles speaking in tongues and declaring the word of the Lord through the grocery store. We are supposed to be atmosphere changers. We're supposed to take the prophetic word that we've heard this weekend. We can listen to the podcast, and I'll be scribing some of them. And we need to take those words, and we need to begin to declare them and claim them as ours, because they're not just like, how many of us have gotten prophetic words? Remember all the prophets saying, pull out the words, remind ourselves of the words. How many of us heard that? We've all heard that. Pull them out. We pull it out and we go, man, that's a good word. And we put it back away, you know. Oh, that's great. Yeah, it is good. But he wants us to war with those words. He wants to take them and go, this is mine. And we declare it into the atmosphere, because the words you speak will change the atmosphere. They are alive. They are alive. We're created in his image. We're created, and he created with his words. I want to say that a lot of us are getting dreams and visions also. Those are prophetic. And we're supposed to war with those prophetic dreams and visions. There's something I was doing a study on, and I love Charles Spurgeon's commentary, and I know he's from the 1800s. I don't even know the date when he's from, but I was reading through some commentaries, and I came up with this, and I felt to share this tonight. And keep in mind, it's from the 1800s. It says, if thou have a word in thy mouth only, it shall be taken from thee. If thou have it in the book only, thou shalt miss it when thou hast most to do with it. But if thou lay it in thy heart, as Mary did the word of the angel, no enemy shall ever be able to take it from thee. And thou shalt find its comfort in treasure, comfortable treasure in time of need. That angel spoke a prophetic word to Mary. She didn't write it down and put it on the shelf. What's the word say? She hid it in her heart. She got it in her heart. Get the word in your heart. Get the prophetic words that were spoken to you in your heart and begin to carry those. Change the atmosphere with your words. Now, as a mother, I know I would have taken that and I would have gone in my kid's room and gone, this is what God said, you know. Of course, we don't know what Mary said, and we don't know what she did with that except hide it in her word. But as being a mother, I would imagine she meditated upon that over and over and over again. And so we take the prophetic word. We don't just put it on the shelf. We need to claim it. Claim it for ours. Take those prophetic dreams and those visions. That vision that Heather had, That's prophetic. We need to take those declarations, decree them over the state of Alaska, decree them in our families. There was a word in there that some people were touched by, and you're going, yeah, I really like that. You take that word and you war with it. That's for you. It isn't just a nice vision, as it was, yes. It isn't like, it's to be shared. God said, share the word. I have scribed a lot of the words, and we do have the book of words that the three of us gathered together, and if anybody wants those, I do have to charge for them. It did cost to pay for them. So I do have the last 3 years also, and I'll be selling those in the back for a small fee is all, so you can take the word and run with them. The prophetic words that are going on even this weekend will be scribed and be available. Those that are over the state of Alaska, these are just over the state of Alaska. So I hope that I've hit the mark in some of you. Stirred you up in the utmost to really take the prophetic word, because he doesn't just speak a word. It's like a parent speaking a word to a child, and you're like, hello, hello. You know, pay attention to the word of the Lord. And so, does anybody know Clarice Fluitt? She's a Louisiana feisty 70-some-year-old little gal. And I want to end with this. I know we're all tired, but I want to end with this. I want to impart the importance of the words that you speak. And so this is something that I really like. And I'm going to speak it as if I'm declaring it for myself. And you guys can grab it. I decree that my words have power. Therefore, I will not be moved by the facts or my circumstances. Instead, I will move the facts. My words agree with God. So let's take the prophetic words. Let's run without restraint. Let's run this race that's before us. This is an assignment from the Lord. And God bless you all.
Wow. Wow. Well, Deb, you said it. You haven't been speaking as much as all of us here, but it sure seemed like you've been speaking for a while. And I was hearing the Lord say that he's going to open up doors for you to travel and to go here and there to begin to speak upon the prophetic and give revelation of how to pull the prophetic down and cause the spiritual reality to come to place over churches, over cities, over states, and over regions. He says he's anointed you to do this and given you the revelation for it. So we agree with that word in the name of Jesus. And Father, even as you said that you are pouring out the double portion, even upon this place, even upon this church, Father, we agree with that, Father. And Lord, we just say yes and amen. Let it be done. Pour out your spirit. Bring the people in. Draw them into this place. Father, I thank you, God, Lord, that it'll happen in this generation, Father, that your move is here, Father, in Jesus' name. Can you put those dates up there for our next meetings? I just wanted to share something with you as far as warring with the word. Somebody gave my wife and I a word, or maybe my wife prophesied it, but what they said is that when you're traveling and traveling for the Lord, he said that I'm going to keep your kids safe. And so my wife and I grabbed onto that, and every time we went out, we said, Lord, you said that you would take care of our kids. You said that you would keep them safe. So we went and we went down to South Africa, and the Lord sent us down there, and we came back, and we proclaimed that word every time. And about, I think it was about 3 months later that we got a call from my brother, and he says, "Have you seen your son's MySpace page?" My son David, at the time, he was about 13 and very athletic. And when we were gone, it had snowed a lot. And him and the neighborhood kids, and him and my other son, had piled up snow behind our house. And somehow he got hold of my old ladder and got onto the top of my two-story house. And he didn't just go on the lower part. He got to the highest part of the house, right there. And he says, "Okay, Robert, are you ready down there?" Robert had his camera right there. "All ready down here." And he jumped off of our roof and did a flip and landed right on the back of that snow. They never did tell that to us on our own. But you know what? The Lord kept our children safe. And as you go out and go forth and do His will, He's going to keep your children safe. This weekend has been wonderful. I know that you're waving your hand at me, but I'm going to have to close up here. You've heard some words. Some words have been prophesied over you this week, this weekend. Make warfare over those words. Proclaim them. Prophesy them. Decree them. Hold them dear to your heart, because they're going to come to pass. Next month, we're believing for miracles that will be released by the apostolic in the state. We're going to believe that He's going to send miracles. And this weekend, especially last night, we didn't have room enough to set out any more chairs in here, because there were so many people, and there are people standing in the back. So we're hoping for a little bit bigger space next month. We'll see what happens. Father, we just thank You for tonight. Thank You for this weekend. Lord, I just thank You, God, Lord, for going with each person here. And Father, we just cancel the plans and schemes of the enemy, every assignment that would try to be even formed against us and our children and our family. We just cancel those assignments right now in the name of Jesus. And we proclaim life and liberty to each one of us in our homes. God, I thank You, Lord God, for sending Your angels. Send Your angels, Lord, to give them charge over us. We just thank You for that in Jesus' name. And I just have one more quick announcement. I believe that Mary is 39 today. Oh, I think I heard her say she's only 37. But today is Mary's birthday, isn't it? Am I right? To you, happy birthday. To you, Mary, happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.